Welcome to the DK UK podcast. My name is Daniel Kelly. DK UK is a hairdressing salon based in Peckham since 2014. Here in the salon, customers look at art instead of a mirror while they get their hair cut. This began as an art project and has grown into a successful business. The salon came about as a reaction to living in London, which is now a very expensive and overcrowded city, not leaving much space for artists to show their work outside of the commercial art world. I trained as a hairdresser before I went to art college, and after several years of trudging through the art world trying to make a living, I decided to combine the two areas of my life, art and hairdressing, and hey presto, haircuts in front of art. On the DK UK podcast, I will be chatting to a range of guests whilst giving them a haircut on the themes present in DK UK, such as how artists earn a living, public funding in the arts, and what sort of length do you want the fringe? I recommend listening to the podcast through headphones and hope you enjoy the chat. Any likes, shares, ratings, etc. would be greatly appreciated. And what was that? Here comes our client. Okay, better go. Right then, Richard, how would you like me to cut your hair?
Nice and short.
Nice and short.
I want you to make it look thicker.
This guy who I used to work with used to say, it's a comb, not a magic wand. Yes, we have been cutting it quite a lot shorter of late.
We have.
Yeah.
It gets shorter and shorter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Try and cut
some. Is that normally what happens with the mature customer?
Not always. You've got quite a bit. You've been using DK UK yellow. You've been using yellow.
Oh yeah, well, we've been using a lot of yellow on Alex's project. He said I got it in my hair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
I got a bit scared for a minute that it had come out of my hands. I think it's the same yellow.
Yeah, no, I'm bad.
Right, where are we? Here we are. So, what are we looking at? Tell us about your show then.
Tell you what, well,
Peckham Park.
We're in the park. We're in the park that used to be here.
Ah, right. Where William Blake had his visions.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
We're back in the park. Before the arcade was built here.
And was it Silver Birch?
Don't know, but that's artistic license, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it?
I think that's fine, yeah.
William Blake wouldn't have minded, would he?
Wouldn't have noticed. Not too much acid.
Well, yeah, no, we're back in there, we're back in the trees.
It's came at a nice time for us, because we're leaving here.
So you don't have to look at
Holdren's Arcade. No, so it's reminded us that there's life outside Holdren's Arcade. So I thought that was quite good.
So do you still go up to Peckham Rye at lunchtime just to take in the nature, or you don't need to do that anymore?
No, I've done it. The last person that came to sort of interview me, rather than sitting here, I took them for a walk up there. And we just walked around the park. That was a nice way to do that.
Yeah.
But no, I've been in here for 4.5 years with no windows. I've forgotten that there's any life outside the arcade.
So your new place then? That's big windows, is it?
We've got 7 windows.
Jesus.
Yeah, 7 windows, yeah.
Wow.
Because I've had to replace them all.
Wow. Pot plants, are you going to get a bit of nature in there?
Pot plants, I think so, yeah. Yeah, we've got a garden.
So how's...
Maybe it's a real garden.
Oh, you've got a garden?
Yeah.
Wow. Blimey. So what are you going to do out there? What sort of...
I haven't decided yet.
No?
Decided.
How big is it? How big's the garden?
It's about 15 by 5 meters.
Is it? Oh.
Well, ours is about 5 square, but then the neighbours aren't using theirs, so I think we could co-opt theirs as well.
Wow.
So it's a big space.
Get a bit of wildlife going in
there.
Yeah,
I thought it might be nice to do some friendly nature garden.
Definitely.
Yeah, I thought that would be quite good.
We were taking part in the RSPB nature watch at the weekend.
Nice.
Which is very exciting. You have to watch.
Bit of twitching.
Exactly. You have to watch your bird feeder for an hour on the Saturday and an hour on the Sunday.
Oh, and you got in your own garden.
Yeah. Well, you can go out to a park and do it if you want, but we did it on the terrace.
Yeah.
But we were very excited. We got 15. I mean, you don't just count them up, so it's not like the same bird, but we got 15 goldfinches.
Yeah.
So we've always got loads of goldfinches, a blue tit and two grey tits on the Saturday. On the Sunday, slightly less goldfinches, but we got a chaffinch.
Oh.
This is pretty exciting, isn't it? So yeah, I can recommend that. You have to get some bird feeders out there.
When I looked after your house, I was very bad with the bird feed.
Oh really? Well, that's the summer though, isn't it?
Didn't top it up, so.
I don't think they're that. They're not that. I don't think they're short of food in the summer.
But I've always been interested in twitching as a hobby. There's something
Absolutely.
So slow about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and being in touch with nature. So I guess growing up in the countryside and being away from it.
Absolutely.
That's quite an impressive number of birds you got in Hackney.
Yeah, well, we're in lots of parks, but it's amazing, isn't it? Very
and then
exciting.
You have to feed into the website.
We put it in the website.
And can you see the data sort of stacking up?
No, it all gets revealed in about a month or so, I think.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. But we worked out the other day because we feed it. We fill the feeder up every day, and but apart from when you're there and you don't bother doing it. And so we worked out we get through nearly 25 kilo bags of sunflower seeds a year. So about 120 kilos of sunflower seeds.
That is like a skip's worth, right?
Yeah. She's amazing, isn't it? I feel good about that.
Have you always had nature in your work?
Yeah, I think there's always a lot of, it's always a bit of countryside, isn't there?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's nature, but it's certainly rural.
Natural.
Rural,
yeah.
Rural and sort of, nostalgia and things like that, I suppose, isn't it?
You didn't grow up in the countryside, though, specifically, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, it's from Cheshire. And I don't want to live there now.
No.
I don't, that sounds like a dreadful, can't think of anything worse, but I like nature, but not...
The idea of it.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's there.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be living in the countryside. No, I don't like the idea of that. But,
and when did the interest wood obsession start?
I don't really know. I suppose again it sort of comes about through, I've obviously had many generations of people in my family that have either lived in the woods or made things out of wood, and that's how I kind of end up with my name. I don't know, I just always liked using wood.
It's always been there.
Yeah, they're sort of warm, isn't it? It's a sort of warm material, and that's an interesting question. Don't really know. I don't really know where it all started
there. I'd obviously put it together with your name, but I'd never thought that. That's how your family got your name.
Well, I assume so.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't thought about it, and then obviously people have pointed it out as though it's like some sort of hilarious joke. But then you sort of think, oh yeah, that is weird. Obviously, there is something going on.
Yeah.
Back many, many generations ago. But basically that.
But it is, no pun intended, very ingrained.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
You know,
yeah, no.
Got your wooden house.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely.
Dream.
Yeah, and it's, it is a commitment to a cause, isn't it, of sort of environmental things and yeah, the fact that we should use more wood, we should grow wood and use it.
Yeah.
And that sort of comes up, and that sort of seeps in and out of my work. Not always sort of intentionally, but it's just, you know, it's not. Yeah, it just sort of come, it just sort of shifts in and out. So yeah, no, it's funny. I sort of go through periods not thinking about it, and then all of a sudden you're doing something that ends up being, you're sort of back to square one doing some wood again.
That with the swimming pool.
Yeah. So are you having no wood in the
new space? MDF doesn't count, does it?
Not really. Suppose you, is it a hygiene thing? No, not really.
No wood in the new space, really.
Because hairdressing does tend to be mirrors and chrome more, doesn't it?
Yeah, glass.
I suppose there's a reason for that. Steel. People like to see what they're... Why is that then? How come that's... What's that about, that aesthetic?
It's like easy to keep clean.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you wouldn't want the hair all getting... Yeah, you wouldn't want a sort of scaff plank floor with all the hair, would you?
I mean, you do see wooden floors in hairdressers, but what's really difficult is the hair dye.
Right.
That stains.
That could be like a brilliant piece of work, isn't it? Really, all the old...
I don't know, it doesn't look that good a colour, it all just looks different shades of brown. It's not like your studio floor, you know, but we've gone for marmoleum in the new space.
Right.
That is fancy lino.
That okay. Was like, what is that, white or?
Black.
Black.
That was the only one that didn't stain.
Right.
But I suppose most hairdressers either have concrete, polished concrete, or ceramic tiles.
Yeah, yeah.
But that all feels a bit sort of corporate and industrial.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sweeping up thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. So, yeah. So it's going to be big windows, big mirrors.
We've got mirrors in strange places. So we've got the same architect, Sam Jacob. He's doing the design for us, so he's sort of kept the sort of brand identity.
Yeah. And you're going to have a big sculpture in there or something?
At some point, I hope, yeah. I've not really had much time to think about the how the art might work in the space.
Right.
Yeah. Just been so focused on getting it ready.
Well, that might be a good idea, that it'll just happen more organically. You'll realise what...
Show by show. But yeah, there's enough space to sit people around looking at a sculpture in the middle, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
Lots of...
And is that, what's that? Is that interactive? Can you sit on it, or...?
Yeah, just talking about in... We've got enough space to do that.
Okay.
So... do anything. I mean, I always say to the artists who exhibit here, I said to you, oh, put the chairs wherever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But
within reason.
Yeah, don't glue it to the wall. But there's basically two configurations because the space is 2 meters by 5 meters, so there's not a great deal of choice.
Right.
But it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, that will be tested really well in the new space.
Your garden.
Yeah.
Can you have all the doors open then at the back? Will it be like?
You have to go access it through the staff route. So I think it'll be probably not summer parties.
Not for visitors.
Maybe private views. Yeah.
Right.
But you never know. I don't know what it would like to have your hair cut outside.
Well, we, behind us, or in front of us, is the guys, what's the ones on the Hackney Road? You know, the shaved head, big beard.
Yeah.
Can't remember what they're called.
Rocket, is it?
Rocket.
Yeah.
They made us, they definitely started that. They started doing it.
In the garden?
Yeah. Because they are always busy.
Yeah.
But then I haven't seen them for a while. Maybe it's seasonal. maybe it can only happen, probably a summer thing, isn't it?
Yes, you wouldn't want to be doing it now.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But,
and what's going to happen with this place?
Space. Don't know yet. I'm going to leave it open for a month afterwards.
Right.
Leave your show up.
So yeah.
People will still be able to come and see that.
Right.
Through the window.
Right.
So that'll be for March. And then, yeah, no plans yet. I presume they'll try and get another hair salon in here.
So they're not going to let it go fallow and go back to nature.
Let the forest come back through. How's the studio then?
It's good.
Yeah.
We're clad in a Dutch barge at the moment, which is fun, down in Canada water for a friend, architect friend, and then
what's the design?
We're doing cut glass, we're doing wood, that's what we're doing.
It's crystal chandelier. Classic.
So he's having a wooden steel hull, obviously. That's a Dutch barge, which is steel, is going to be all covered in wood.
Yeah.
So it's now a wooden. Oh, it's fun. It's pretty cold though at the moment. I don't know where you're
working on site.
Yeah. Without any heat. Well, there's a wood burner. That's okay. But it's pretty chilly in there. Yeah, and then back in the studio, we're doing. I don't know. We're starting these new big paintings, but they're sort of. They're all small, medium, and large, like three or four images, which are kind of the same, but they're all different sizes. So it's like stacks on top of each other, so they're kind of, I don't know, I like the idea of things at the moment, I don't know, sort of things, different size options, like big house, little house. You know, massive house, medium house, tiny house, or massive. Well, we've been looking at dogs in Haggerston Park, and we're doing some big dogs, medium dogs, and little dogs.
Yeah.
And just sort of like the idea of choice and commerce and how things are, yeah, small, medium, large, extra large. Kind of just like that idea. Yeah, or just choice, or money, or just sort of like that idea. So I'm kicking that around at the studio at the moment.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And how much are you are hands on tools every day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Yeah.
There's no point in doing it otherwise, is there?
No, it's nice.
It's just miserable otherwise. Get a big desk, that's no fun in there. We're doing that. But yeah, I don't really know where the paintings are going to go. Well, they're not really paintings, they're more sculptures, but they're painted things.
On the wall?
No, they're on panels, but yeah, I think they're more like sculptures than paintings, but I don't really know what they are. I quite like that though, when you don't really.
Yeah.
It's like. All the best sculptures in the world you can sit on, and all the best paintings are, but they're more like sculptures, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's best not to worry too much about.
Definitely.
But, and then we're doing these. We're going to do a big series of sort of drawings of houses on the floor, big outdoor floor drawings. We've got that coming up, hopefully. So yeah, just a few. Projects and a few studio things and then we're making some furniture as well. So a few
with a designer again.
It's for a big project. No, it's for a. Well, there's two things. One's for a private commission up in Oxfordshire for Michael E. Williams. We're basically filling the whole of his house. He's having his house completely. Gutted up there, and we're just building everything on the inside. So the whole interior is going to be full of furniture. And
you build the furniture, or do you collaborate with other people to do
that? No, we're doing it. The three of stuff. Yeah, me, Mike, and Kieran are doing everything. So we're going to build the whole lot and print it, and yeah, it's insane, really. And a lot of the walls are covered as well.
Oh my god!
So the silver birch might be making an appearance up there. It should be fun. Yeah.
And that's, sorry, I missed it. That's a room, or
no, a whole house.
The whole house.
Yeah.
He's a fan, isn't he?
Yeah, no, it's a fun project to do.
Great. And that's permanent.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we're doing that, and yeah, just different stuff, really.
Yeah. I guess in what we talk about quite a bit here is like how artists survive in London.
Yeah.
Galleries closing and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we could quickly just skip through your gallery career.
Yeah.
My understanding is you've shown with a couple of different galleries.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd be interested to talk
about that a little bit. First gallery I worked with, well, very, very way back. I did a show at a gallery called Hales, which was like an artist-led gallery in Deptford.
Yeah.
But then the first sort of commercial gallery I worked with was Modern Art.
Stuart Shave.
Yeah, Stuart Shave. And
when was that?
Early 2000s.
Okay. Yeah.
And but I always had a funny thing with galleries, and I suppose, well, things have kind of changed, but I've never been comfortable with the idea of sort of art and design and architecture being sort of separated out.
Mm.
And commercial galleries like art and design and furniture separate out some ways for conceptual reasons, but also because art's more expensive than furniture.
Yeah.
And so galleries don't really like thinking about things in a design way.
They've got quite a closed idea about what something is, what a sculpture is, and what a bench is, or whatever.
Yeah. Because it's market led.
Yeah.
Obviously, when everyone's thinking about the Bauhaus at the moment, but it wasn't really an issue for them deciding whether something was architecture or art.
Yeah, it's functionality.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a funny thing in a weird way that's been kind of a problem, but also...
Well, it's created tension with the galleries. Like,
But in a weird way, it's actually been a positive, because I've never really wanted... Because I've always been interested in a certain art which galleries aren't interested in. So in an odd way...
Such as...
Well, art that could be design or design, you know, things that can be mass produced, things that are functional, things that... I've never been particularly interested in the canon that commercial galleries are sort of wed to.
But it's not your background, I guess, is it?
No, but as I say,
the place we grew up, you know.
Exactly, and as a consequence, it's actually ended up being like a plus.
Yeah.
Because you kind of keep your independence from, you know, a scene or a... It helps you keep a fluidity to what you do, which, I'm obviously really interested in.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. You know, it's like the funny thing, isn't it? When you're a kid, you're just as much interested in music or as you are, well, I was, painting, you know, it's music or things like that influence you as much as a painting, isn't it? So it's just absurd to suddenly then start separating them all out and saying this is art and this is...
I think it's a brilliant attitude, and one that that's got to become more important with the younger generation coming through now, with the whole gallery system's on its knees, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? I mean, you're either in it or you're not, aren't you? And so that's it's a particular thing, isn't it? It's a particular model that doesn't really have much relevance to cultural practice, and the commercial gallery system just sort of flails around trying to find whatever they think is the next thing, but usually it's kind of already moved on, isn't it? And so it's good. So the problem is a good thing, which is often the way, isn't it?
But it leads to you having more freedom. And the same with younger artists as well.
Yeah.
This is a very cheesy question, but is there any advice you'd give to younger artists?
Wow.
Because I've been asked that. Because I've followed a similar path with This Is The Model. You know, I did the hairdressing. I didn't want to do the hairdressing, I wanted to be an artist. I just stuck to my guns and have ended up in quite an interesting thing here by just following it. And I feel that your practice has gone in a similar way. And I think it's the way that most artists should go now.
Yes, wow, giving advice, oh my lord, that's terrifying, isn't it?
Don't listen.
But yeah, you just have to do what's fun, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
And not what you think is a career thing.
Yeah. That's the best I've ever come up with, too.
But, yeah, I don't know. But also, if you're not really suited to go into millions of private views and doing that, then why would you want to do it anyway? Do you know what I mean? Well, that's just miserable, isn't it?
Because there's not many artists who sort of like operate in the design and architecture world that slip between them so well as you do, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's, as you say, it's hard that the art world doesn't like it, does it?
No.
Because it's cheaper, isn't it? But there's a lot of designers.
But you're quite well played. You're not an outsider in the art world.
No.
You're sort of very...
Yeah. No, exactly. And there are lots, and there's more. But then there's also artists that are kind of existing in the illustration world or in the theatre world. You know what I mean? So I think there is more crossover now, isn't there? It's not necessarily art and design, but it's other stuff. And I think that's kind of really interesting.
Yeah.
I think
it's the way the world is going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can't.
Forging new ground, mate. Breaking ahead, ahead of your time.
It was, but it is that funny thing, isn't it, with the Bauhaus that...
And William Morris as well, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
And then all of those things just became... what's the way of putting it? But they just sort of, for 60 or 70 years, everyone was kind of encouraged to forget about that and just think about a gallery being, you know, the space that it became. But all of these ideas were knocking around the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, you know, the inclusiveness. So I don't think. But yeah, no, it's onwards and upwards, isn't it?
Well, it needs rethinking, you know, fashion, music, they've all changed with the digital revolution, and the art world hasn't.
Yeah.
Because it's not in the interest of
those
30 people that buy it.
Yeah.
Off the 300 or so people that sell it, you know, and everyone else is sort of scrapping around underneath.
Yeah, no, that's very, that is very true, isn't it? So what do you think then? How do you think that's going to...
Well, what I've been thinking about is like a Netflix type model, socialist sort of.
Yeah.
I think there's a few galleries that operate in that regard where artists pay a membership fee. But I feel that people need to start paying for art. I think it's the only answer I've come up to. Because
what do you mean, paying for art?
I need to experience it and see it. Because it's the only way I can think that artists can start to earn a living. The people who subsidise art are artists.
Yeah, well, that's...
thinking about this as a business. Like,
well, we're in a mad time, aren't we, with the public with the public gallery system, but basically I'm not sure you could get quite a big show in a public space, but you sort of have to, it never comes with funding, so that's really difficult for artists that are maybe young or don't work with a big gallery, or so basically the consequence of all of these big public spaces are now funded by the big commercial galleries, aren't they? So,
yeah, they're paying.
And that's kind of loopy, isn't it? Where you can't get a show in a public space because you're not willing to put like 50 grand in.
Yeah.
And that's got to be the height of complete bonkersness, hasn't
it? Like the most you can pay an artist with Arts Council money is a couple of grand.
Yeah.
What sort of show can you make with two or three grand living in London? You know, I've been thinking about that a lot here, how I want to develop the shows and how much time I want to give artists.
Yeah.
And the only way that is going to be able to realise as the business grows and the space grows, you know, you're talking about having all this more space, is that the hairdressing pays.
In that regard,
people are going to have, the haircuts are going to have to be expensive for some of that money. It's hard enough to run a hairdressing business that isn't supporting an art programme as well.
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting though. It's those little diversions and routes that you take that end up being, that's what ends up being interesting, isn't it? And ends up being making the space interesting.
Yeah, such as yourself, you know. Right. And here, sort of, you know, having the skill of hairdressing and putting it together because I didn't want to be a teacher, you know.
So how many hairdressers are going to be in the new place?
Well, we've currently got myself, Iddy, Helena and Judith, that's four.
Blimey.
And then you're doubling your... Might get one more, but the two of them will only be one day a week. So we currently all work here, but we have to sort of spread out the days, obviously, because we've only got two chairs.
Right. So you're doubling the...
Doubling capacity.
Blimey.
We've got a good, reasonable deal on the rent, but it's still, you know, everything's going up.
Yeah.
So it's grown up now. Like, I feel the weight of responsibility, for sure. It's not faffing around anymore.
Your hair will be going the same colour as mine soon.
If it makes it into the new space. We shall see. Well, I think that's a good haircut.
Oh, look at that.
A bit shorter this time.
Yeah, and it looks a bit thicker, doesn't it?
A little bit.
It's a consequence.
I put some gel on it, which is quite good.
You have?
Yeah. Dried it in so it makes it not so fluffy.
Brilliant. That's perfect, man. Very good.
Thank you very much. Do I take these out? All done, yeah. Let me stop that.
Well, I never. Very interesting. Thanks for listening to the DK UK podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. I would also like to thank Arts Council England for their continued support of DK UK, Open School East for helping me get the recordings off the ground, and Joey Four for this great music you can hear underneath. For more information about DK UK, you can check out the website, which is www.dkuk.biz. And as I said, any likes, shares, ratings on the iTunes store, friends to tell about through social media would be greatly appreciated. And if you're in Peckham, come and get a haircut and have your own chat. Thanks a lot. Bye.